This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour number two as we roll along this morning. Glad you could be with us. Hey, we'll continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along this morning. Don't forget, later on in this show, we'll talk some more about the NFL in the season. And, of course, we'll get back to some of the things that worked and not worked as we're at the midway point. But as I was mentioning earlier, the Brooklyn Nets have hired Jacques Vaughn. Now, I want to go big picture here on this, because I was talking about this in hour number one. I think that you see this a lot in sports, where there was always a guy that everybody liked that should get the promotion. And we see this a lot. Like, if you're in the NFL, you can do what the Colts did and just go grab Jeff Saturday off of television. But the reality is that there was probably somebody within the organization on Frank Reich's staff, whether it was Gus Bradley, whether it was John Fox, or whether it was somebody else that we don't even know of, that could have emerged as the interim coach until you find the right coach that was familiar enough with the players and liked by the players. But never forget one thing about these sort of personalities is that players always tend to like the assistant coaches a little bit more. The head coach is the one that has to make the hard decisions, the one that has to get a little tougher. The assistant coaches is where, in most sports, is where you kind of go with your position and you kind of talk to them and they relate to you a little better. So it isn't surprising when people talk about an assistant coach being pretty popular. But in the NBA, Jacques Vaughn isn't just popular amongst Nets players. He's popular with players across the league. That's important. That's important because Ime Udoka and the disaster that happened there. But prior to that, Ime Udoka dealt with the players with the Celtics in the way that the players felt they all should have been treated. He didn't treat them all the same. If you were a certain level of player, you got a certain level of treatment. And if you were on the bottom tier of that, you got a little bit harder treatment. Jacques Vaughn is liked enough, and that's the thing, he's liked enough that the Brooklyn Nets may have just steadied this a little bit rather than being, again, one of the more controversial teams in the NBA. Good, the bad, the dumb coming up as we continue with his wake-up call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Again on a throwback Thursday, 1969, Sesame Street debut. We all know Sesame Street. Most of you probably watched it, grew up with it, learned your alphabet with it. 1969. Still kind of kicking around to this day on HBO. You can find old episodes on HBO Max. But yeah, 1969 Sesame Street, paying homage to one of the longest television shows of all time. Now that's good. Is it as good as the good of the day? Let's find out. Good of the day.
Well, the good of the day is just a little different than Sesame Street debuting on this day, 1969. But in this sense, guaranteed, I'm 100% sure this sport wasn't around in 1969.
Okay.
And that's the sport of pickleball.
Man, pickleball is blowing up, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, it's kind of, I'm not going to say, like, it's not confusing. It's just, I don't know if I get the meteoric rise to it all.
Okay, is it tennis or is it ping pong? Is it a combination of both? What is it?
You're exactly right.
Okay. It's both, right?
It's a little bit of both. But they got a major boost this week as LeBron James, Tom Brady, and Kevin Durant, you probably have heard of those guys.
Yeah.
Announced that their Major League Pickleball is joining forces with their competitor, Vibe Pickleball, to create one major league that will probably grow the sport even more. I was trying to find an equivalent of this, I really couldn't think of it. I guess it'd be like, you know, if there were two tennis leagues and decided, like, let's just combine forces.
So what are we doing with this pickleball? Is it going to be like the Philadelphia Liberty Bells or something? Is it going to be like cities?
I think in a way it's going to be kind of like Live. You know, the LIV tournament where there's teams, but you're,
and they all gather in one place for a tournament or something?
Yeah, but there's individual prizes, and, you know, they're already shopping around to it's probably going to go to a streaming site. I doubt any, I don't think it's going to be on CBS or anything
I'm
like that.
I'm sure this is going around the country. Like, we just had, not that long ago, we had, like, a city meeting. I don't go to these things. I just find out later what they were talking about. But they were talking about this undeveloped land that they want to do in my town. And one of the proposals was this park, blah, blah, blah. And it would have four pickleball courts.
Yeah.
And I went,
have you ever watched it on TV?
I have never watched it on TV. I at the gym I work out at, they play it in the gym. I've seen it played, but I'm not sure.
My wife, she likes to fall asleep to the Tennis Channel.
Right.
Because she just likes to hear, you know, the.
That's very cool.
You know, and just, she's done it for years. I mean, ever since she was in high school, she would always fall asleep to, like, you know, U.S. Open videotapes.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
That she recorded and just fall asleep to it. And so every once in a while, you know, I'll be up, and I know she's sleeping to the tennis, but they'll have pickleball. And so I get sucked in. I'm watching pickleball. And the thing is I think I could do this. And I think that's where the appeal is, because it doesn't look like you have to be overly up. Now, to be like a major league player, obviously you got to be, you know, got to be in prime shape. But I look at some of these people and I'm like, you're no different than me.
My thing is, I told a friend of mine this. I said, because he wants me to play pickleball. He's like, come play pickleball with us. And I'm like, here's my problem. I'm my wife will laugh at me because she knows it. So I go, here's what I'll do. I'll go to the pickleball court. Somebody will go, here, you can use my racket. Okay, cool. Or use the rec center's racket or whatever, and I'll play. And I'm not kidding, Ron, right after I play, if I like it, I'm gonna be at Dick's Sporting Goods buying the racket, the bag, do I need a glove to grip the racket better? Are there practice balls I can use? Is there a ball returner net? I'll buy it all. I know I'll do this. I will dive in 100%. And then, you know what's going to happen 2 years from now? You can come to my house in a yard sale and I'll be like, here's all the pickleball stuff I bought 2 years ago. I'll do it for a while, then I won't do it anymore. Now, if I catch a bug, like I did early on in my life with golf, maybe I have a sport I'll play forever. But I've done this before. Mm-hmm. I've done this before. And so I'm a little nervous about it. But everybody I know that plays it personally is not in the best shape and they love it.
Right.
They love it.
And that's the thing. It's not like tennis where it's a huge court. The ball's flying like hundreds of miles per hour. It's not that at all. You know, it's I don't know. I don't know what kind of ball it is, but I think it's a little more dead inside, so it doesn't travel as far. It's almost like a badminton type of situation where you can smack the badminton. I always have trouble saying what the thing is called.
Right. But it's
I don't know if it's FCC approved to call it the shuttlecock.
Yeah. It's we call it the birdie.
The birdie.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, with the money they've got and the fame they got to promote it and the popularity it feels like of this, it probably
and
has
it
a very good
chance.
It
kind of coincides with another story that I was reading the other day that it wasn't 100% good just because, you know, they're still shopping. But Netflix is shopping to get into the sports realm.
Yeah, they are, very much so.
And this could be something for them.
Listen, I've been in minor league basketball for 2 years, and I know some friends of mine that have been in upstart hockey leagues, upstart whatever. The thing about it is you're trying to sell the same product to an audience where there's a better product somewhere else, right? So when we were in minor league basketball, we didn't say we were better than the NBA. That wasn't what we were doing, but we were saying, well, we're different than the NBA, and we're more local than the NBA. But in the end, we were selling them the same game. This is a brand new game. Like they're on the ground floor of something that could be awesome, or it could be out of our lives in 2 years. But at least it's something different. At least it's a different sport. They're not trying to take a similar sport and turning it into something, you know, that it's not built for. They've taken a very popular rising sport and now turn it into this professional league. Good go luck. That's awesome. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is I'm going to point my finger at Twitter.
Whoa, yeah, why not? Yep. Everybody else is,
although Elon Musk says that ever since he took over, Twitter usage has gone up. I don't see how that is possible.
I have to take his word for it. I don't know. I wouldn't have any metrics. How do we have any metrics for that?
No, I feel like it.
30 you know, people.
Did it ever go away? I mean, I feel like everyone's tweeting. I don't know. Maybe it rose a little bit because of the election.
I'm the wrong person to ask. I follow like 100 people.
But that's not the bad
maybe.
Of the day.
Okay.
The bad is, you know, he has this new policy, you know, the blue check mark where you can pay $8 and you're automatically verified.
Is our good friend Jake Asman going to be paying $8 to get his blue check mark?
I don't know. I'll have to find out.
Find out for us.
No, Eitan, same with him.
Same with Eitan. They were big on this.
Years to get the blue check mark.
Same with Jake.
So, but anyways, since you can pay $8 to get a blue check mark, that means you and I could get a blue check mark. Anybody could get a blue check mark, including a guy who claimed to be LeBron James and posts to his Twitter site, I am, you know, I love you, L.A., but at this time I'm requesting a trade from the Lakers.
Yeah, they this policy needs to be rethought of.
You can't, that coming from a verified LeBron James account, you just can't have it.
Here's the thing. You can pretend if you're Elon Musk, you can pretend what you bought is just a silly, people jump on there, throw all sorts of stuff to the wall. Who cares? It's just a goofy site of people just, I'm LeBron James and I like pickles, right? Like, but the reality of it is people do use it for news. People do use it for breaking news. You have to acknowledge that. You can pretend it's something. You can pretend it should be this, but it's not that. When Adam Schefter has breaking news, he's putting it out on Twitter. That's how he sends it to the world. You can deny that it shouldn't be for that you should get on TV and announce your breaking news, but that's not the way the world works. So if you're going to say that, either two things are going to happen. No one can trust anything, or that you have to go, you know what? I may tweak the policy, because I think people were complaining, like people on Twitter were like privately selling blue check marks for way more, like for people. You can eliminate that from the process. You can make it, you can change the verification process. You can make it more stringent. I don't care. But you're going to have to acknowledge that this could be a real messy place if you're just going to let people go on Twitter and pretend that they are.
Buy their way in. Yeah, to buy their celebrity, basically.
Right. So you're better off saying, you know what? I might have misread this, and I want to make sure that this is a site where, if indeed Lamar Jackson breaks his leg riding a bicycle down a hill and Adam Schefter says it happened, there isn't a fake Adam Schefter paying $8 to be Adam Schefter to telling bettors around the world that Lamar Jackson's out for the season when Lamar Jackson showed up to practice that day.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's you start affecting betting lines.
Right? Oh, right? Man. Exactly.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. We're talking betting lines, elections, we're talking general news like that could affect the world. Like there's all sorts of things. And I think he needs to take a breather, calm down from all the vitriol, and go, all right, what exactly did I buy? What exactly do people use it for? And let's respect what some people do use it for.
Now,
like my Twitter feed is open all the time just in case there is breaking news. But
all the time.
I can't trust it. We break news on this show constantly.
Through Twitter.
Right, through Twitter.
You know, I mean, we'll get an alert, and then we're just like, all right, you know, let me check Schefter. Let me check Ian Rappaport.
Well,
those seem to be the two guys.
That's a problem. So, okay, let's say within 2 minutes, let's say the Pittsburgh Steelers fire Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'll just give you a little media lesson, everybody. So if the Steelers are firing Mike Tomlin, somebody within the Steelers organization knows about that. So this morning, let's say the Steelers get together. Mike Tomlin's fired today. We're going to have a press conference later today. Somebody goes, hey, we're firing Mike Tomlin today. They have a press conference at 2:00, but that's to fire Mike Tomlin. Okay. Schefter gets a hold of that. He puts it out on Twitter, right? Now, it pops up on my screen. I see a blue check mark. The Steelers are going to fire Mike Tomlin. This is all hypothetical. He's not really fired, but I'm just using it as an example. I would then go, hey, Adam Schefter's reporting that this is happening. Now, some people go, well, ESPN.com or FoxSports.com should be the place that goes. Yes, but somebody has to get a picture of Mike Tomlin. They have to write an article. It's not just going to be one word. They're going to go, Tomlin joined the league in this year, and then he was this, and he was this, and then in this year he won the Super Bowl, and then blah, 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 blah. Recently, the team has come under. They write it out. That takes. Schefter goes, boom, 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 done. Right?
Yep.
That's how we're getting our news. So Elon Musk,
no, like
love him or hate him, I don't care, but he at least should know what he bought. Because that's what the way people are getting.
And my issue, I think my issue with him is I just don't feel like he fully understands that. I don't really look at him as a good businessman. I think he has a lot of great ideas, but I mean, I know he's made billions of money, more money than I can, and you obviously he has to have some sort of business sense to get to that point. But I just don't feel like he's a good businessman.
Yeah, well, maybe in this. Weird. I mean, he is the richest, one of the richest men in the world. So he's done something right, like you said.
That's what I said. I mean, yeah,
in this case, he bought it for.
It almost feels like he bought it for S's and G's.
Yeah, why not? I'm like, I got the money.
I'll just go ahead and buy it.
So, nevertheless. I understand what he's trying to do real quick. We'll get to the dumb. I'll carry over the dumb in a bit because I do want to say, I did hear him say, look, I want the reason the $8 is to one, help us. We're going to be a profitable company. Twitter's lost money forever, but I'm going to start sharing money with content creators. Like there's a plan for the money, which is, I think is pretty smart, but understand what we're just sports people. But in, when it comes to like real news, like what if somebody with a blue check mark says that a nuclear bomb had detonated somewhere? You can affect global economy with that really quickly before people find out.
It almost becomes
war
games.
Right. It becomes war games. Like what if somebody said a nuclear plant melted down in this part of the country and you go, and then you just believe it. And then next thing you know, the market is plummeting for whatever reason.
Think about it on this. Think about it on this level. Remember when that fake missile launch was in Hawaii?
Towards Hawaii, yeah.
That everybody freaked out, thought, oh my God, you know, it's World War III. It's happening right now. And it just turned out, it was like, oh, some guy hit the wrong button.
But you can do the same thing on Twitter. Exactly.
And create a panic.
Sure. So, anyway, let's carry the dumb over now.
All right.
We continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is 1969 on our Throwback Thursday. This is obviously the Rolling Stones, but today is Sesame Street's birthday. Hey, yes, exactly.
I think Mick Jagger
would have been good on Sesame Street.
Did he ever appear on Sesame
Street? Yeah, he would have been fun on Sesame Street.
He might have been on Sesame Street.
They all were. Come on, we don't know for sure, right? I bet if I did a Google celebrities on Sesame Street, it'd be 50 pages long.
Oh my God.
It'd be forever.
Fascinating.
Just even like one brief moment.
Yep.
Nevertheless. Also on this date in 1928, the win one for the Gipper game took place at Yankee Stadium where Notre Dame upset Army back in 1928. But I don't know what the music was in 1928.
Oh, we should play some.
Maybe you should. Johnny, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Right, that kind of thing?
I don't know. That might be after 1928.
Exactly. So, nevertheless, the win won for the Gipper game, and Ronald Reagan played the Gipper in the movie.
Yeah.
George Gipp. So, 1928, Notre Dame over Army. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day. We're continuing over because we had a nice, good conversation about Twitter. What we could be experiencing.
I got to say that because, you know, when I pull these stories, I never know what. You know, which one will just like set us off.
No, that's why I love this segment so much because I think it allows for a fun conversation.
Every once in a while we get to one, it's like, oh.
And what's really cool about it, and a lot of people, I act like I don't know the stories. I don't know the stories. Like, I don't know what you're going to know. So you don't share them with me, so I catch them by surprise. So I don't plan to have a longer conversation about this.
And to be honest, a lot of times I don't even know the stories.
Very true. I like when you go, hold on 1 second. I forgot what. The computer just went down. Those are my favorite moments because I'm like, oh no, what do I do? Do I fill while he gets the computer up and running? Do I make up my own dumb? So, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, it leans more to the bad side. Sometimes we have good dumbs, funny dumbs, but this one's this is kind of a bad dumb.
All right.
First images of the fan village are coming out of Qatar.
Oh, I saw this. Okay. Yes. Tell people about this because I was
As I said this, we did this about a month ago, 2 months ago, that Qatar does not have enough hotels to support all the fans coming in for the World Cup.
Doesn't matter when the briefcase of cash is in the room.
Who would have thought that?
Right.
God, that, you know, an influx of fans are coming to your country you may not be as well prepared as you thought you would. And we've talked about, you know, no alcohol. Well, you can have some alcohol, but you have that alcohol in this area. And then if you've had too much alcohol, you have to remain in this, like, quarantined area until you're fine enough to go home and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, I mean, one thing after another with this place. So anyways, they said they were going to create these fan villages for $203 per night, Tony.
Yes.
You could rent one of these, lack of a better word, shipping container.
Yeah, they're shipping containers, yeah.
That have been makeshifted into a, I guess, a hotel suite.
Yeah, they got little windows in them and like a bed and whatnot.
Here's the issue, right? Not all of them will have air conditioning because some of them you can pay a little bit more, a little bit more premium of price to have air conditioning. So a lot of these, if you're there on a budget, if you're playing real cheap, you're going to have a shipping container with no AC in the middle of a desert.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I think we're going to have people dying.
We probably will.
In these shipping containers.
With the amount of people that are going to be in this thing, I wouldn't be surprised if we do.
No. It's just one mess after another. I mean, it's now to the point where it's comical.
It's
right.
It's,
I mean, it's comical.
It's comical. It's getting to a point where I can't wait. I mean, I wonder how. Is there going to be media that's going to get removed if they're overly critical? Is that the kind of country?
They've already said that. If you do something unfavorable, the stuff is going to be confiscated.
Yeah, like we're gonna monitor reporters that are in there, like what they're sending. Like if you write, hey man, this is disgusting.
You know, they've already said that there's no camera crew allowed. And actually, I mean, to the point, like no reporters are even allowed in the migrant camps.
Ugh.
So they've already came out and said, like, yeah, you can't go over there. Which, by the way, they probably have shipped and moved someplace else.
They probably have.
Behind a sand dune that, you know, no one's ever going to venture over there. So you're not going to see how they're living.
It's really, it's like heartbreaking sometimes when I heard those stories of people with no money.
Yeah.
Like they're over in Nepal and places like
Pakistan,
that.
Pakistan.
No money.
India,
Pakistan. They just, no money. And then there's this company that's just like put them all on planes and whatever and just get them over here.
Promising grand wealth.
Exactly. Like we'll take, and then they live in squalor. I mean, absolute just filth in these camps. And they're forced to work in the blazing heat building these stadiums and whatnot. And the world went, whatever. Just make sure they look good for.
That's what, you know, that's just Qatar.
Yeah.
That's a different world over there.
Yeah. And these people just are like feeding their families the best they possibly can, moving away from them. People just, and there's bucket for a bathroom. And it was disgusting. Like when HBO went in there, like the one scene that always blew me away about their little documentary on Real Sports was when they had the like Ministry of Information and they're interviewing him. And they told him they went out to the camp, and the guy's face was like, you did? And I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's like, you guys are going to be out of here in about 3 minutes.
Yep.
Like, as soon as I get off this thing, we'll make it a phone call, and you guys are on the next plane out of here. You're not staying in this country.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. And he told him, he said, well, we went out there. And the guy was like, you did? He's like, yeah, we went out there and filmed it. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. There was enough people that said that this was happening, but it went off. The stadiums got built. The world will be there.
We had a big yesterday was a big fanfare reveal of the U.S. men's national team of who actually is going over to the World Cup.
Yeah, I was asking about that because I was like, we're not still doing tryouts, are we? But there's a goalie there that got told he's not going.
Right, and that was a little controversial because he played a lot during under the World Cup camp.
Yeah.
And I'm calling it a World Cup camp because it's kind of like preseason training.
I do remember, though, that before they went to Brazil, I remember the Landon Donovan decision was kind of close to when they were getting to go to Brazil.
And they chose not to take them.
When they chose not to take them, and they said, you're not going.
Yeah, and they did that with a couple players this time around, too. I mean, one one bright and shining star was this guy named, I think it's Ricardo Pepi, and they're choosing not to take him.
Wow. Well, I hope the U.S. does well. It gets 21st of November.
According to FIFA, the video game, they're making it to the quarterfinals, which
right.
would be amazing.
Right. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio as we continue.
Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1969, the debut of Sesame Street on television on our Throwback Thursday. You can make the case, I don't know if you win the argument, but you can make the case that Sesame Street is probably one of the most important television shows ever produced.
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah. I mean, 60 Minutes, you could point 60 Minutes, mm-hmm. you could put to a couple of others. And there were television shows that had a huge impact on the medium.
Yeah.
But the fact that you had a television program that taught kids, was educational, and then lasted for generations and generations. It was the thing that you watched as a kid, then you watched with your kids as a kid, and they watched with their kids as a kid, and whatnot. And there was like Mr. Rogers and Electric Company. Morgan Freeman was on the Electric Company. We're just talking about Shawshank Redemption yesterday. Morgan Freeman was an Electric Company alumni. So, yeah, it just sort of opened a window of educational TV. You can make the argument Sesame Street was one of the most important TV shows of all time. So, there were some... I don't know. Like I thought it would last. Like if it can't be on public television, where HBO? Like now people have to pay for HBO to get Sesame Street, or is that just have we reached a point where we don't need that? We got other things. Coco Melon seems to be doing well, and whatever else kids are watching. But nevertheless, it's Throwback Thursday, 1969.
I just real quick, because we had talked about it before. I decided to Google.
Yeah.
Celebrities that appeared on.
Yes. Is the list long?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's here's the thing, right? It says Wikipedia has a list of guest stars on Sesame Street, and then they have it broken down alphabetically.
Oh my gosh.
So just like for the letter A, there's at least 20, 25 names.
I think that's also due to the fact that it was kind of, like they filmed it in New York, and they would just always grab somebody who was in New York for something. Like, if you're an actor and you're in L.A., doing movies. But then they'd be like, you're going to go to New York and you're going to be on the TV shows and you're going to promote the movie. And then they would go, and while you're there, sing an Alphabet song with Ernie while you're there. And they would just go, okay, cool.
Or like this one, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar defines the word subtraction with Big Bird.
Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't you want Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking subtraction with Big Bird?
I mean, all the way to the point, I know they're not real, but C-3PO explains to R2-D2 that the thing he's in love with is a fire hydrant in episode 1396.
That's great. Why not? Johnny Cash was on there with Oscar the Grouch. I mean, there's lots of other ones. Yeah. Johnny Cash, man. That must have been great.
Yeah. He's saying Nasty Dan with Oscar.
Uh-huh.
It's listed here. I'm looking at it now.
That's pretty great.
I mean, it's still going on, I guess, because, I have Henry Cavill defines the
really?
Word respect with Elmo.
Superman himself?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. So, I want to ask you a serious question about the World Cup.
Do it.
In all seriousness, is the United States team, like, you do that FIFA thing, but, seriously, is what are the expectations here? Like, for you personally, when you look at the squad, Christian Pulisic and those guys, like, do you think there could be a really good run here?
Well,
or is it just tough of a draw?
Here's the deal, and I'm gonna say what Greg Berhalter said yesterday, because, it was a huge thing. He announced it, and they asked him a few questions. And Taylor Twellman, who we've had on the show before, asked him, what's your expectation for this tournament? Literally point blankly asked him. And here's what it is. First of all, when you look at the World Cup, you got to look at it as two tournaments. Right?
There's the group stage
tournament, and then there's the knockout stage tournament. So in order for them to get to the knockout, you got to succeed in the group stage. So you can't think about knockout. I think they're good enough to get out of the group stage. I really
do.
That's
good. That's good.
England's going to be a real tough team. England's like, top five team right now. So that means, and my prediction was, is that they're going to get 4 points out of this tournament.
Okay.
Which means, you know, you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie.
So to get to the knockout stage, you have to finish in the top two?
You have to finish in the top two.
Okay. And you don't have to worry about anybody else in any group.
You only worry about the four teams
you're in.
You don't have to be like,
well, we're competing against group C. You just go, nope, just be the top two of this and we're out of here.
And see, and the way I think it's going to go is I think it'll be a tie against Wales, a loss against England, and then they're going to beat Iran.
Okay.
And it's going to be nail biting, and it's going to be, you know, maybe they can get a win against Wales. I don't believe they can get a win against England. And they're going there with, I think it's the youngest team assembled going to the World Cup. I think they're the youngest team this year. It's the second youngest team the U.S. has ever put forth.
That is,
Once they get to the knockout stage, it literally is an any given Sunday type mentality.
Sure. Sure.
You never know what's going to happen. It all depends on who you're going to play against. You know, I know that we had fun yesterday because FIFA had USA meeting France in the quarterfinals. And if that's to happen, France should wipe the door of the United States. So France is just that far more superior.
I know we've had this conversation before, but years whenever this sort of thing pops up. So when I hear people say, and this is me, I always we've been doing this show for a long time.
Yeah.
I hate cliched answers.
Yep.
I hate easy answers. I think that there is a lot more depth to answers than just throwing out basic. Sometimes the answer is basic. Sometimes the answer is cliche. But sometimes it's just lazy. When I hear people say, like, when I go, hey, why can't we in 2022 be as competitive in soccer as country A, country B, country C that care about soccer more? And then people go, well, you know, those guys, they grew up their whole lives loving soccer. I gotta believe Christian Pulisic grew up his whole life loving soccer. Like, I can't imagine that
he picked it up when he was 21 years old.
Yeah, like, I can't, to me, that's a lazy argument because I can't imagine anyone, like, I'm looking at the ages. I called up the roster, 19, 22, 20, like they didn't just pick it up in high school and became the United States men's soccer team. They've been playing since they were
5, 6, 7 years
people
old.
In a country of 300 million, and they went, oh, I'm a basketball player, but I thought I'd pick this up for the World Cup. Like, so, okay, so the kid in Europe that's like, I love soccer. Christian Pulisic is a kid. I love soccer. It's got to be fundamentally different in terms of the system. Can we change the system? It can't be passion. Passion is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Because I will tell you that tennis isn't superly popular in the United States, but we've produced men's champions and women's champions. It's the environment, isn't it? It's the system, isn't it?
Well, I think what it is...
you grab a Christian Pulisic and go, your life is much different than everybody you're playing against right now.
And they finally are developing those type of...
That's what I'm getting to.
Those communities or... I'm not saying it's like, you know, like back in the day, you would send a gymnast off to go live like in a camp.
Sure, of course.
You know, yeah.
Jennifer Capriati is probably the perfect example. Once they realized she could hit a tennis racket, like, whatever, Bianchi, whatever his name was.
Right.
Like, off you go to Florida.
Yep. There you go. You're living there now. You're moved.
Yep.
And we have that infrastructure hasn't been there for years. I think a lot of times, like when you look at past U.S. men's national teams, those teams were coached by dads like when they were kids.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, like, for the longest time, every coach we had, like a head coach, when Bruce Arena came on to be the head coach, it was a huge deal because, like, oh my God, we're using an American coach because we were always pulling coaches from other, other countries.
Sure.
You know, we had the Yugoslavia head coach at one point. So when the Bruce Arena came and then they made the switch and went to Jurgen Klinsmann, it was like, oh, maybe we got to go back to European coaches. I think we're starting to see that. They finally built that infrastructure, that grassroots, which is what they've always been targeting. That's what Jurgen Klinsmann was pushing. Was like, you know, if you're going to be successful on the world stage, it needs to grow here. We can't just keep sending people over there. It needs to grow here.
Exactly.
I think we're finally seeing that because in this tournament, and I hate doing it this way too, it almost feels like going over there to this World Cup is irrelevant in the sense that This team shouldn't make the finals. This team shouldn't do this. But what this team is getting is all the experience that we hope they will gain for 2026 when it is on our home turf.
But you know what? I will say this. Here's the thing. And I remember and you know, because you went to those matches, the 94 World Cup. And
yeah.
I swear, because I was a young reporter coming out of college working in my first radio station, and we were all in on it in this small state. Well, it wasn't a small state, the biggest AM station in New Hampshire. But we were in on it big time. I mean, we did a lot in terms of coverage of the World Cup because it was summertime, but it was also in the United States. But the reality was, I feel like at that moment they were saying the same things.
Well, no, they were.
Like they were saying, this is the turning point. This is the turning point. This is when we've now turned the page. Off we go to the future. And that was 30 years ago.
Right, but remember this. What came out of that? What came from the 94 World Cup?
Major League Soccer.
Major League Soccer. We didn't have a professional league.
Yeah.
Before that. I mean, you kind of did.
We did with the New York Cosmos, Pele was on it.
Pele was on it when he was like 38 years old and still schooling everybody.
But
we didn't have a real entrenched professional league.
Right.
And look at how far that league has gone from 94 to 2022.
Right, right.
You know, it's a viable thing. We are even considering it's like, hey, it could be the fourth major sport in the country now.
They just care about it more. I just hated that answer because I'm like, wait a minute. Again, if you have resources, you have intelligence, you build a system, it's not overnight. I'm not saying it. You just pluck 20 Americans and you could be competitive. But if you do it in a way, it doesn't matter. Like, all right. Christian Pulisic, okay? If Christian Pulisic was in Walmart in my town, I don't think anybody would stop him. I think it would be one or two people that would recognize him. But if he wins the World Cup, if he's on the World Cup winning team, he's Michael Phelps famous.
Yeah.
Like, he's nationally famous, like, in a way that we embrace. Like, Tom Brady is famous, but there's a lot of people who hate Tom Brady. But nobody hates Michael Phelps. Like, it's on another level. Like, it's a level of fame that's beyond LeBron James. it's beyond our current system of famous athletes, right? Like, LeBron is famous, but there are people that don't like him. But if Pulisic is like lifting the World Cup trophy and parades around America, he's on another, like, run for president level, right? Yeah. I mean, like, he becomes this mega, mega, like Michael Phelps. Like, to me, again, individual sports are different than team sports, and I kind of get it. But when I was in Colorado Springs around the Olympic Committee, I knew stories of people like, once we get our mindset to something, like, look out, we have the way of doing it. I love the fact that we're getting better, but we're not that far removed from the team that didn't make it last year.
No, we're not.
Like, they're not losing sleep in England and other places about not making the World Cup, right? Like,
well,
they're not,
yes.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to argue that just in this sense, because Italy not making the World Cup is
a huge deal.
But it's devastating for their country.
Right,
and I'm curious.
I'll counter that with this. That was a mega, mega deal. Did anybody go in America if you went on the street and said we didn't make the World Cup? I bet the answer would be, oh yeah, of course we didn't. Are we even good?
You're exactly right, and that's part of the problem. Is hopefully that culture, that mindset changes.
I want that culture to change.
Because, I mean, you've talked about it ad nauseum, and I love the fact that you talk about it. It's like, you know, every 4 years, it's the one team that we all rally behind.
Oh God, like just. Just the idea that in a couple of weeks, less than 2 weeks, people are going to be gathering in places all around the country to watch one thing and cheer for one thing. There isn't going to be a sad city and a happy city and a bunch of cities that are like, I don't even care. Like what you get for the Super Bowl. How many Super Bowl parties have you all gone to where nobody cares who wins? You're just there for the Super Bowl. You don't root for the Chiefs. You don't root for the Buccaneers. You don't root for the Rams. You don't root for the Bengals. But you're there because it's a Super Bowl. Yay. And if something exciting happens, yay. But tell me where you can be in Seattle cheering, Miami cheering, New York cheering, Denver cheering, LA cheering,
Kansas
Sioux City, Iowa cheering. Where are we all doing that? We never do that. I mean, even the Olympics, we're not watching.
We all rallied behind Michael Phelps. Yeah, we rallied behind Michael Phelps, and that was pretty much it.
But that was really it. We never watched the same thing, root for the one thing together.
You know, you could just even think about the last Olympics in Tokyo. Do you remember who won?
Oh, God, no. I barely remember anything about that.
I couldn't tell you one gold medal.
All I felt was we shouldn't even be doing this.
Right.
But this,
no
you're
fans,
right.
What?
21st of November, people are going to go.
20th.
20th of November.
Well, 21st is first U.S. game.
Okay, first U.S. game. Where you're going to be at? People are going to be going to wherever they go, and either watching at home or they're gathering with a bunch of people. It's going to be great. It's
2 o'clock Eastern.
I like having you on the show for the soccer stuff because I'm. I like answering questions because I don't. I have what I believe, but I want to be able to change.
And that's why I said it too. Like I hate the fact that, you know, it's like we're already looking ahead to the next World Cup, but with this team, it almost feels like you need to because
that's true.
You know, it reminds me of the Belgium team in 2018. I believe they went to the final or semifinal, and that was, you know, they were a much better team. Or 2014 is when they did that.
Now, who won the last cup? France.
France won the last one. Yeah,
Croatia. Didn't they beat Croatia?
Did they beat Croatia?
I'll have to look that up.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
It's the time of the season. You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, Throwback Thursday, 1969. I don't think I got enough time to really dive into this, but I did want to mention it. Good conversation about the World Cup and the U.S. soccer team. But Fred Hickman passed away. You probably remember Fred Hickman when he was on with Nick Charles, the late Nick Charles on CNN. Before ESPN became this big global behemoth, there were two ways you got highlights on national highlights in the country. You got them on ESPN, the simple standards. You've probably seen, if you're not old enough to remember, but remember the old boring set that had like the gray background?
Yeah.
And then there was Nick Charles and Fred Hickman on CNN. They did a half-hour sports highlight show back in the day. Nick Charles tragically passed away a number of years ago, and now Fred Hickman has passed away at the age of 66, relatively young. But they were as big as it got in the 90s and 80s and 90s as a sports duo on television. All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call as we continue. Get more into the NFL. The global series continues in Munich and other bits of news in college football.